Let us pray. God our Father, you spoke to the prophets of old of a Savior who would bring peace. You helped them to spread the joyful message of his coming kingdom. Help us as we prepare to celebrate his birth, to share with those around us the good news of your power and love. We ask this through Jesus Christ, the light who is coming into the world. Amen. Good morning, Trinity Church. In a Memphis, Tennessee VA hospital, Fred Craddock Jr. knelt at the bedside of his 63-year-old father. For his part, Fred Craddock Sr., alcoholic and noted storyteller of Humboldt, Tennessee, never stopped drinking, never stopped smoking Bull Durham cigars, and lay dying of throat cancer. He weighed 73 pounds that day and could neither eat nor speak. But when he saw his son, Craddock Sr. picked up a Kleenex box and scribbled on it a line from Shakespeare's Hamlet, "In this harsh world, draw thy breath in pain to tell my story." In response, the young man asked his father, "And what is your story, Daddy?" During the Great Depression, the Craddock family lost the 10-acre farm they had inherited, and the family of seven moved into a dirt floor shack with neither electricity nor running water. At times, Craddock Sr., the patriarch, would sober up. He would vow never to drink again. He would occasionally find an odd job, and once he arranged for a dentist to pull a gold crown off a molar so that he could buy Christmas toys for his children. But as fine as he was with his stories, and maybe even with his intentions, he was as unskilled as a farmer, as a handyman, a shopkeeper. Craddock Jr. said of his daddy, he wanted to do better by his family, but he didn't know how. Their matriarch, Ethel Craddock, put food on the family's table. She worked during the day in a factory where she adhered labels to Buster Brown shoes, and then at night, she would gather her children around the fireplace to play word games in order to grow their vocabulary. For this hard scrabble life, Mrs. Craddock drew strength from her faith. She took her children to church, sang hymns to the accompaniment of her harmonica, and she welcomed down on their luck strangers who needed a hot meal or a place to stay. At first, Mr. Craddock shared his family pew, but he stopped attending as his drinking grew worse. He felt guilty, the younger Craddock explained of his father. He'd say, "Every time I go to church, they preach against the drunks like me that we can't go to heaven. I know what the church wants, another name, another pledge." Despite his father's antipathy, Fred Jr. found peace and acceptance in the church, where he was not known for his poverty, but for his potential. The church cared for him, raised him in their community, gave him new shoes, picture books of the Bible, and kindness. And as it turned out, Fred Craddock's father was not the only member of his family who could tell a good story. When Fred turned 17, he approached his mother to tell her that he thought God might be calling him as a preacher. His mother doubled over, weeping at the news. Disconsolate, the younger Craddock was confused until finally she collected herself and explained her reaction, telling him of a terrible night when he was only 8 months old. The infant Fred, see, was suffering with diphtheria, a highly infectious disease that forms blockages over the lungs, gradually suffocating its victims, and the infant could barely draw a breath. His father ran a mile to summon a doctor, but the doctor could do little. Then young Fred's breathing grew more and more labored. His mother finally could not watch him suffer any longer and fled to the barn, where she prayed all night, "Dear God, if you will let him live, I will pray every day that he serve you as a minister." She fell asleep on the hay, then awakened a word that her son would live. In typical contrast, when Craddock told his father of this emerging vocation, Craddock Sr. cracked jokes, "Don't be like John the Baptist and lose your head." Among the finest preachers of the last century, Fred Craddock knew at least two stories. One of a world so harsh that it could turn a strong man and a father into a drunkard who could not provide for his family. And two of a world so magical and good that somehow, in the mystery of God, a mother's prayer could save her dirt poor family from death and desolation and deliver her son to bind the brokenhearted. Of course, we too know these stories. We know of this cruel world and its powers to coerce and to corrupt even the people we admire. And in this forever year of 2020, we know too well of disease and disappointment, the felt unfairness of this life's caprice for those we love and for ourselves. Businesses which were thriving a year ago at this time have shuttered. Jobs that felt secure are now imperiled. And while the promise of a vaccine dares us to hope, many of us still must ready for a Christmas far, far from family and friends, now after so many months apart already. It is in this harsh world that Isaiah prophesies to tell God's story. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he declares, "because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty for the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And to this harsh world, John the Baptist joins himself to Isaiah to tell God's story as a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the paths of the Lord." In a time of suffering and foreboding, John salves all those who mourn in Zion, gives them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. And oh, brothers and sisters, in this harsh world, God calls Trinity Church to share the good news, to join with the prophets before us and to become oaks of righteousness, the very planting of the Lord to display God's glory in our own day, in our own moment. Fred Craddock's father never heard his son preach. One Sunday, in the pulpit of his boyhood church, a man the same age as his father approached him after the service and said, "Son, you sound like your daddy." Craddock recalls having to compose himself to achieve the simple action of shaking the man's hand. And even at the end of his long and distinguished career, he would say of that compliment that it remained the greatest ever paid him or one of his sermons. As a young man at his father's bedside, he had asked, "And Daddy, what is your story?" And his father, 63 years old and 73 pounds, wrote on a Kleenex box, "I was wrong." Of his father's confession, Craddock Jr., who himself died 5 years ago, Craddock Jr. recalls of his father, "It was so late. It was at the end, yet with his personality and with his education, he was generous to a fault. Give you the shirt off his back. He could have been such a good person, helping people, talking to people, playing with children. He could have done all these things. He could have. But it was so late. Too late." People of God, our Advent preparation demands faithful urgency. Faithful urgency. Not that we would be in a hurry, but that we would do the good that we can do today, here, now. This Advent calls us not to wait until we can finally take off our masks for good before we seek some joy, before we seek to share some joy. This Advent calls us now to do the good that we can while we can. And so I ask you, if you have not yet registered, to come and help decorate our Christmas trees in the narthex to help us create this tableau for our aching city, I ask you to do that today. I ask you to do it right now. Register and come and help us decorate this afternoon or one of the next 3 days. And after that, I hope that you'll roust your family for an outing to come to see and to enjoy the ice sculpture nativity that will be set just outside these walls next Saturday at 5:30, December the 19th. And that same evening, to join with those you love near and far, tell them to meet you on the computer and to sing out loud, to say our prayers together during candlelight carols. And then in the weeks after, from December 19th all the way through the Feast of the Epiphany on January the 6th, come and take a happy selfie in front of our Christmas peak. Suggest to your neighbors that they do the same, and trust that by finding your joy, you encourage the same in your neighbors, and in your neighbors after that, and their neighbors after that. Let us prepare the way of the Lord today. Let us make straight the paths of God today. Let us not lie on our deathbeds, grieving the men and women that we could have been. Let us not burden our children and those who loved us with the grief of our regret. Let us do the good that we can do while we have the time to do it. Now, none of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. So let's get to doing it now to find our joy, to share God's good news in this Advent and always. In the name of our joyful God, and the infant King, I pray. Amen.